Artha, the gross elements. Tan matrikat, from the subtle sensations, which themselves are derived from false ego in the mode of goodness. Jagye became generated. Tamasat, from false ego in mode of ignorance. Indriyani, the senses. Cha, and Tejasat, from false ego in mode of passion. Devata, the demigods. Asan, arose. Ekadash, 11. Cha, and Vakritat, from false ego in mode of goodness. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. From false ego in mode of ignorance came the subtle physical perceptions, from which the gross elements were generated. From false ego in mode of passion came the senses, and from false ego in mode of goodness arose the 11 demigods. Purport. From false ego in mode of ignorance, sound is generated, along with the sense of hearing, to receive it, and the sky as its medium. Next, the sensation of touch, air, and the sense of touch are generated. And thus, from subtle to gross, all of the elements and their perceptions are generated. The senses, because they are busily engaged in activity, are created from false ego in mode of passion. From false ego in goodness come 11 demigods, the deities of the directions, the wind and the sun. Varuna, the Ashwini deities, Agni, Indra, Upendra, Mitra, Brahma and Chandra. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanyan Manovishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripasindubhya Evicha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here this chapter is about Sankhya Yoga, and previously we have read just chapter 24. So in chapter 22 we also read similar topic, in which Krishna told Uddhava about, he was enumerating various elements of material nature. And then this chapter is also Sankhya Yoga. It tells about more about the elements and their interactions, that how those elements interact with each other. And then in between these two chapters we had the song of Avanti Brahmana, in which basically all these chapters and even next chapter is the modes of material nature. So these chapters in detail discuss about the material world and how the living entity, when he enters the material realm, what actually happens and how these elements interact, and very detailed technical information given. So, and in the song of Avanti Brahmana, then it's given that when the living entity comes in material world, then he suffers so many miseries and insults, and then how to deal with that, like that. So here, chapter 24 is the main thing given here as a conclusion, is that what is the necessity of reading about and knowing about this Sankhya Yoga, these elements in detail and their interactions. So it's given because it's very important, because once we have this knowledge, then we can actually come over, we can transcend the dualities of material realm. If we don't know that we are trapped in this material world, in these dualities, then no one will think how to come out of it. So first we have to know how much we are entangled by these elements and modes like that. So if we know that, then we can endeavor to come out of that. So that's why this detailed information is given here. So one thing very nicely it's given here, that how in this today's verse is how false ego reacts with three modes. So initially there is how the material creation starts is there is pradhan. Pradhan is the aggregate of all the material elements, and it's not activated as yet. So then with the glance of Supreme Lord, it becomes activated, and something called Mahat Tattva comes into play, and then slowly this the main cause of bondage in this material world, false ego, this is generated soon after that. So false ego is the main thing that binds us, this wrong conception that we can enjoy separate from Krishna, and we have an identity separate from Krishna. So this is basically the false ego. And here the technical information is given, that how it reacts with different modes and what happens, you know, then senses come, sense objects come, like that. It's given. So in Bhagavad Gita it says that to know all this, we should have some faith. So it requires some faith to understand all this. There is a process that we can unentangle ourselves from this bondage like that. And if we have this faith, then it becomes easy. In Bhagavad Gita, if you say, there is a long introduction to Bhagavad Gita, and in that introduction it's given that what is the way that we approach such knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a way to approach it, because it's a very mysterious science, as in 9th chapter it says, Rajvitya Rajguhyam. So this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is the king of all, this most secret of all secrets. So we cannot know actually how to unentangle ourselves. So, but there is a way to approach such a knowledge, and that way is given that we have to be submissive. So that in the beginning, all this detailed knowledge, you know, can go over our heads, you know, what's going on, Mahat Tattva, Pradhan, these interactions, you know, five senses, sense objects, and so many things are there, very technical, detailed. So it may not be very clear in the beginning, but what it is said in Bhagavad Gita is that theoretically we should at least accept it. Oh yes, this is true. This is how it happens. This is how entanglement happens. So theoretically we should accept it first. And then as time goes on, as we render some devotional service, everything becomes clear. Because in another place in Bhagavad Gita it says, Tesham satato yuktanam bhashtam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yen mam apyantite. That one who is constantly engaged in this devotional service, to him I will give this knowledge. So, you know, from within. So then everything becomes clear. So we just have to engage in devotional service. But at least theoretically we should accept, yes, this knowledge is there, this is true, even though we may not understand. You want to give him the key? Okay. So that's the process given. But one who doesn't have faith, for him it's very hard to understand all this knowledge. So one very nice verse in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it says, Agyascha Shraddhadanascha Samshayatma Vinashyati Nayam Lokosti Na Paro Na Sukham Samshayatmanaha. So it says that, but ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So this is the thing. So for the doubting soul, there is no happiness. So if someone doubts that, oh, this knowledge, is it true or is it not, then it's very, very hard to, you know, understand this knowledge. So this Friday, I think we were distributing books, and generally if you stop people, very few of them stop. But there was this man who was trying to come, and he almost stopped himself. So I was a little happy in the beginning that, oh, he's stopping and trying to talk to me. So then, actually, he knew about these books. I had a few books, Bhagavad Gita, Science of Self-Realization, in my hand. So he knew, he had heard about those books. So he said, I thought he's interested, but he came near and he said, you are being deceived. I said, what do you mean? He said, these books, you think these books make you happy? But no, the knowledge in these books, this is not true. You are being deceived. So I just, you know, so a little bit I humbly tried to say something that, you know, that I have been practicing what's given in these books and it has given me happiness. So how am I deceived, you know? It's actually working. So I have seen that. He said, no, you are being deceived. These books cannot give happiness. It's your own knowledge that may have given you happiness. I said, no, this is the knowledge given in these books. According to my own knowledge, I was very miserable before I got in touch with these books. But anyway, then I said, you know, okay, do you have any process which can make me really happy? So then he had no answer to it, you know. So actually, so such people who have no faith in the knowledge given in that the knowledge given in these books, it works. So for them, you know, there is no happiness actually. It says, na sukham samshayatmana. One who, doubting soul, samshayatmana. One who always doubts, oh, is it true, is it not. So then, there cannot be happiness in this world or in next, like that. So, the first thing is, we shouldn't doubt about this knowledge, that all these interactions and technicalities are given. So this is true. We may not understand, but sooner or later, it will become clear. Like that. So this false ego, it's very nicely here in this chapter Krishna is explaining to Uddhava. It's like Krishna in form of Kapila Dev instructed similar knowledge of Sankhya Yoga to his mother Devahuti, and there little more detail is given. So we'll read from that as well. Can someone give me third canto, second part? Third canto, second. So there basically it's given about false ego. And false ego is nothing but identifying wrongly. So ego means identity. So identity, if we know who we are, so then things are clear. So it's like if there's a person who works in a company and he goes there. His position is, for example, you know, administrative assistant. But he goes in the company and he thinks he is managing director. So he is identifying wrongly there. So he goes there and now he acts like that. That, oh, I am managing director. And he tries to instruct everyone. So everyone thinks, you know, who you are. So he'll be in misery actually. He'll suffer there. So this is like false ego, identifying wrongly. You know, You think you are someone else. So that's a simple definition of false ego, like that. So you cannot be happy with that. So, in 26th chapter of 3rd canto, there's a verse which is related to today's verse. So I thought I'll read a little bit. So there it says, this false ego is characterized as the doer, as an instrument, and as an effect. It is further characterized as serene, active, or dull, according to how it is influenced by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So in purport, Prabhupada says, Ahankar or false ego is transformed into the demigods, the controlling directors of material affairs. As an instrument, the false ego is represented as different senses and sense organs. And as the result of combination of the demigods and the senses, material objects are produced. In the material world, we are producing so many things, and this is called advancement of civilization. But actually the advancement of civilization is a manifestation of the false ego. So here basically it says that how this false ego is interacting with different modes, and all these senses are produced. And here it says, you know, because these senses are very busily engaged in activity, so that's why it's a mode of passion means activity. So these senses are always active, you know, and senses want desire sense objects, these interactions. So when false ego interacts with mode of passion, these senses come, and then these senses want enjoyment. And for that enjoyment, which is initially based, you know, based on false ego, the senses came. And for the enjoyment of, or the satisfaction of the senses, all this creation is happening, which is Prabhupada is saying here, this so-called material advancement. Actually, there is no need. So all these, this material advancement, which is, this is based on false ego. So it's all, basically false, like that. Of course, devotees are so expert, they dovetail this material technology and advancement in Krishna's service. So that's the expertise of devotees. But actually, all these things are not required. They are based on false ego, like that. So, and further, it's another place it's given that how, okay, now then to counteract this false ego, what's the method? To understand the real ego, our real identity. So we have an identity, and as said, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityada. So a real identity is that we are servant of Krishna. Now we start serving Krishna initially, and then sometimes we may fall down like that. So in one purport, Prabhupada writes that how this process of devotional service, it's like razor's edge, it's given. That in one Upanishad it's given. It's like a razor's edge. So we have to be very careful. So like we shave every day. But if we are not careful, they will be cut like that. So this same way, while practicing devotional service, you have to be very careful and follow everything very nicely, like that. Another example is how, this everyone can relate to, when we are driving. So we have to keep our eyes on the road, that where we are going, like that. We should be very careful. If some other vehicle is coming, you know, we don't have to make mistake, and we have to cover for others' mistakes, like that. So then we'll have a safe ride, like that. Even if other people make mistakes, they'll be lost to us. So we have to be careful, not only to our actions, but we have to sometimes cover up other people's actions, like that. So in India, if you see, there's many places, there's this sign, Savdani Hati Durghatna Gati, like that. Once you lose your focus, there can be an accident. Even for 1 second, like that. Just 1 second. Sometimes people are, they didn't have enough sleep, and just 1 second they just went like this and that's it, gone. So many truck drivers and like that. So it's very dangerous. The same way in devotional service, we have to be very, very careful. And then this all this knowledge becomes clear, like that. So first of, so here it says these interactions are given, that how false ego interacts with mode of passion, goodness and ignorance. So so living entity, when he comes in contact with the modes of material nature, he gets covered up like that. So this is the touch. It's like this contact, it's dangerous. It initially it looks like it's living entity thinks he will enjoy, but as soon as it comes in contact with these gunas, another another meaning of word guna is rope. So it's like you're tied up with three types of ropes or three types of chains: iron chain, golden chain and silver chain. So that's like mode of three modes, mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. So if you are tied up, it's very hard to be free and enjoy like that. If you see, like when prisoners, I don't know, here in US I've seen some videos, they use this jacket, this jacket in which the sleeves are long sleeves, and there's and they tie up like this behind, so you can't even move your arms like that. So this is the condition in material world. You are like tied up, you can't move like that. So if someone is tied up with all these shackles, these jackets and these ropes, so then how can he be happy? How can he jump like that? So this is the situation given here. And all this is because just initial this small decision that, oh okay, we'll try to enjoy in the spiritual world. So this contact with the modes of natures. So like in Bhagavad Gita it says, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhungte Prakriti Jan Gunan Karan Guna Sangosya Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu. So as you come in contact with these modes, Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu, then you just keep on taking birth in these different species. So many species you take birth in. Just a small mistake and that's it. Gone. So you keep on taking birth in all these millions of species like that. Another actually very nice thing, there is a song by Narottam Das Thakur. Very interesting verse there. So he says, Satsang chadi kainu asate vilas te karane lagila ye karma bandha fas, like that. So satsang chadi means you have just left this association, this pure association, spiritual association, the association with this like we were in spiritual world. So once you have left that, satsang chadi kainu asate vilas, now you are trying to enjoy this asat or the temporary things, you are trying to enjoy that, then what happens? As soon as you do that, karma bandhapas, now you are entangled in the fruitive activities. So this is like a circle, vicious circle. So what happens is, a living entity initially thinks, oh, he will enjoy. So what happens? Okay, he does good activity, bad activity, karma and vikarma, like that. And then as soon as you do any material activity, there is a reaction to it. So this is a circle, so you are trapped. So if you do good karma, you have to come back to reap the result. You'll have good parentage, good lot of wealth, beauty, like that, and learning, these four things, Janmeshwara, Shuta, Shribi, these four things if you will have, if you do good karma. If you do bad karma, then you will suffer, you have to come back to suffer those results. So this is like a cycle. Then when you come back, you are again doing those activities, so there will be results further. So this just goes on and on. This is like a cycle. You're trapped. Karma bandh phans. That's it. Trapped there. So now the main thing is, what is the, how to get out of it? So that's the process given here. Sankhya Yoga. If you understand the technicalities, so then it's easy to come out of it. Like that. So this entanglement is like one kind of contamination, basically. So contamination of three modes. So as we say, you know, Cheto Darpan Marjanam. When we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this contamination is cleansed. Like that. So by doing devotional service, this contamination is cleansed. So another very nice pastime I was hearing about was how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once he planned that he will clean the Gundicha temple, like that. So by cleaning the temple, actually we cleanse this contamination. We have contacted these modes and we are contaminated by these modes. So now we have to clean it. So by cleaning temple, actually we clean the dirt within the heart, like that. So Mahaprabhu decided once that he will clean this Gundicha temple. And he went there and he asked the servants that, you know, I want to clean. And then they brought so many water pots and brooms. And then he started cleaning. And all other devotees, they started cleaning. And actually Mahaprabhu cleaned the whole temple twice. So, and that's very significant because first time, what they cleaned was the dirt, which was very clearly visible. It's very clearly visible. These are dirt and straws, so they're very easily clean. But second time they came back again, and Mahaprabhu tried to clean the dirt, which was not easily visible in the corners somewhere like that. So, and that signifies actually this process that we are following, that we actually have this contamination that's within our heart. Of these material modes, some of it is very clearly visible. This sense gratification, you know, breaking four principles like that, very clear like that. So then we have to first clean that, but then we have to again clean the things which are not very clearly visible, and that is this sense of pratishtha that we, you know, this is just like a hidden sense gratification that we want to have. You know, we are grossly, we are not engaged in sense gratification, but there is some hidden selfishness there that, oh, we want to enjoy this fame and distinction, adoration, like that. So that's why Mahaprabhu cleaned the temple two times, so that it's like there is no possibility of any dirt, any contamination remaining. That's why he cleaned the temple twice. Like that. So, and similarly, by this chanting process, it has actually the potency to clean all the dirt forever. Like that. So this is this process that Mahaprabhu has given. And then, a very, very interesting thing that happened in the that pastime of Mahaprabhu cleaning the temple. So everyone, hundreds of devotees, they were engaged in cleaning this temple, inside the temple. And then when devotees saw the outside street, that was clean automatically. No one cleaned it, it automatically by potency of Lord it became clean. So this signifies that actually if we just try our best, we may ignore, because there is layers of dirt because of past millions of lifetimes of our contact with material nature. There is layers of dirt. First we think, oh, that's it. Now we are pure devotees, all done. But then something comes up. So we have to further clean like that. We shouldn't be disheartened. So it's like we have done some physical labor sometimes in dirt, sand, like that, and it's very dirty and some grease is there and so much dirt is there. So, and when we go in the shower and so much dirt starts flowing with water. So we shouldn't feel that, oh, it's so dirty, and jump out of shower. Oh, it's so dirty here. If we stay in the shower, so we'll get cleansed. So same, although we may have all these layers and layers of dirt within the heart, but if we just stay in this shower of devotional service, this chanting, feasting, dancing, deity worship, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, so then we are safe like that. So Sri Krishna himself, and in the form of Mahaprabhu, he is very merciful. He has given this process. So it's like a whole team, that although we are contaminated, but there is a team which is helping us. It is given all this process. This Srimad Bhagavatam is there. This team is basically Krishna, Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. So this is the team. They work for us. They are all the time helping us like that. So if there is some person trapped, there is a fire in a house and the person is trapped inside, so then there is a whole rescue team which comes. There will be police car will come, fire brigade will come, and the ambulance will come in case of emergency. Everyone will be there, and they will try, if there is a person trapped inside the house and his house is on fire, so this whole team will try to help him, like that. And the neighbors and family, everyone will try to rescue him and save his life. So similarly, although we are entrapped here by these interactions of false ego with all these modes, but there is this rescue team, transcendental rescue team of the spiritual master. There are sadhus, and then there is Krishna from within. He gives intelligence like that. So they are all the time, they are trying to help us like that. We just have to reach out like that. We don't have to be sad about that. Oh, we have contacted this and we have layers and layers of dirt. That's no problem like that. So that's the thing given here, that interactions of three modes with false ego and how we are trapped and what is the solution is just surrender to the process with full sincerity and submissiveness. Even though it's not very clear in the beginning, that's all right. But if we are just submissive, sooner or later, everything becomes very clear. So I would like to stop there and ask if there's any questions or comments. Today is appearance day. Jiva Goswami.
Monday.
Don't know much, but I'll try. He's written lot of. Jiva Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and he has widely written so many. He has explained bhakti in so many scriptures, and I think once I was hearing Keshav Prabhu was giving class that this title of there's few acharyas we give this title of Prabhupada, that Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, and I think Jiva Goswami Prabhupada like that. So this is a very special Goswami, and then he has given commentaries. We see in these purports his commentary and explanation by on Srimad Bhagavatam, commentaries by explanations by Jiva Goswami. Now see, he has written those Tattva Sandarb and what's that, Krishna Sandarb, like that. So I'm not very I haven't read much about him. There's few pastimes, but I can't remember the full detail. So for today, I would say that.
You are right. Yes. Also, in the Banaras University,
yes,
the full section of Jiva Goswami
books. Okay.
They have donated the whole department for Jiva Goswami. So many, as you said, prolific
six Goswamis, they were, as it says in Shat Goswami Ashtak, Nana Shastra Vichar Naik Nipuram, Sad Dharma Samsthapakav. So they are very expert in scrutinizingly studying these revealed scriptures and establishing the religious principle. So this was the goal. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhupada.
You just said that when we do karma, the good activity and the bad activity, you take more and more rewards and you have to reap the fruits or any bad things you have done in the past. So, what is the thing which we need to do?
We need to stop all activity. That's the solution.
Is it possible for us to stop all activities?
Yeah, possible. We all are trying to do. Just have to become still like that. Don't do any activity materially. So we have to stop all the material activities. So there's three types of activities: karma, vikarma and akarma. So karma and vikarma are the material activities, pious and sinful activities. So those activities we have to stop. So what we have to start is akarma. The activities, the soul is always active. We cannot, like, that's why I think you were thinking, oh, you can't not do anything. Nahi kashchit kshanam api jatu tishtatya karma krit karya teya vasya karma sarvai prakriti jayatuna. So all the time you have to work. It's not that you don't work. All the time, even if you still, if you sit still, the mind is active like that. The soul is very active. So only thing we have to do is to stop material activities, because there is a reaction. Then you have to come back to reap that reaction. So if you do any activity related to Krishna is a karma. So if you eat prasadam, which is foodstuffs offered to Krishna, and if you do any devotional service related, try to serve Krishna, chanting, hearing, chanting. So all these activities are a karma. Even if you work and if you give some of your results to Krishna, so you are actually working for Krishna. Like Arjun, he was so active. He was very active on the battlefield. He was fighting, killing, like that. But he was doing it for Krishna. So that type of activity we have to do. Whatever we are doing, we just do for Krishna. You don't have to leave your situation. And as we were discussing yesterday, one devotee was saying, sthane sthita shruti gatam tanu vang manobir. That sthane sthita, whichever position you are situated in, just be there. Sthane sthita shruti gatam. You just have to engage in service of Krishna. Tanu vang manobir. By body, engage your body, your speech and your mind. These three things. Is that all? Any other questions or comments? Okay, so we'll stop there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.